And we are back, the Kickback Pod, back once again. This is episode 79, and you're tuning into a special episode because we're going to be going through the first half of the year so far, telling you what has been our favorite sneakers, and also just talk a little bit about some of the trends we've seen in the sneaker world this year. What up, guys? JD Kicks here with my man Fobs. How you doing, bro?
What up? Good, I'm good. You can tell, it is summer. We are wearing t-shirts, short sleeves. Summer has finally arrived in Berlin. It's been a long wait.
It's 33 degrees today, man.
Bro, it's hot. Hot and sweaty.
And for those of you who don't know, 33 degrees in a country with no AC feels like 43 or 53.
Because we get that a lot, right? Where Americans be like, oh, where I'm from, we got 104, 110, whatever that means on the real scale. I think that's quite hot. But yeah, try spending a summer in Berlin with no AC. We actually bought an AC though.
You did?
Yeah, we did.
Bro, your neighbors must hate you, man.
Like a So it's like, it's not like a proper one that you like put outside on your balcony.
Oh, okay.
But it's the next best thing. It's like one of those standing ACs that has a hose that you put outside the window.
Oh, okay.
So it's still pretty legit. It cools down a space of around 80 square meters. Nice. Which is more or less our apartment minus the bathroom. And yeah, man, it's dope. Like I said, it hasn't been too hot for too long in Berlin. But on days like today, put it on a couple hours before you go to sleep and you have a nice, cool bedroom.
That sounds promising. I bought an indoor fan for my apartment, and the first night that I was just blasting it all night, the next morning my downstairs neighbor knocked on my door and he was like, yeah, I couldn't sleep all of last night because
what?
Yeah, because apparently like the fan like vibrates a little, like it vibrates the floor. So the guy below just had noise the whole night and he couldn't sleep.
Oh shit.
So then I had to like put all these like cushions, and then I put the fan on top of the cushion.
That, I mean, you live in an Altbau, right?
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, makes sense. But I feel like a tiny vibrating noise, you can use that as white noise. Maybe it helps you fall asleep. So your neighbor was just being a bit of a bitch.
Yeah, Altbau, by the way, for those of you who are not German, it just means like these buildings that are super old, like pre-World War I.
Yeah.
The building I live in is like over 100 years old, which is crazy to think about. So,
no, but you've been traveling a lot this summer. You were in Colombia.
I was in Colombia, and oh my God, man, it was, it made me rethink my whole like future of what I want for like the retirement part of my life. Definitely. I could totally see myself retiring there because you just wake up, you see the beautiful mountains everywhere. You see like amazing trees, palm trees, and like just like, you know, a little salsa music playing in the background. and like people are just, I don't know, man, like it's just like a sense of really, you get this neighborhood type of feel there.
Yeah,
like even though everyone doesn't know anyone, everyone, it kind of felt like everyone knew everyone just by like the people would go outside. Like I was staying with my girlfriend, my wife, why do I keep saying girlfriend? I was staying with my wife's family. And they would just go outside and like randomly start conversations with the people on the street who they didn't even know. And and like we'd take a taxi and have like a long convo with the taxi driver. Like everyone kind of just, it felt like a big neighborhood, you know, like it was, I've never really experienced anything like that. And I felt this like Southern American hospitality, really. And I loved it, man. I loved it.
Yeah, a lot of my colleagues are from South America, Brazil, Argentina, and they often speak about how that community feeling, that friendliness is missing.
Yes.
in Western, like I guess for them, Eastern countries, Germany, European countries, that are not like Spain, Italy, whatever, because there the culture is quite similar, right?
Yeah.
Or with a little bit of overlap, but like the Central European, like the Germans, the probably the Scandinavians too, stuff
yeah,
like that, right?
Yeah, that's missing for sure.
Because a lot of it is like you're sitting on the bus and then you just get in conversation with someone. You're just talking to them for your bus ride to work or whatever. Yeah. And like you said, it almost feels like you know them. Everybody's super friendly, super open. And here you don't get that. A lot of them compare, like obviously I talk to a lot of other parents and they're comparing it to back home where they say at the playgrounds here, you know, parents keep to themselves mostly, right? I mean, of course, there's always exceptions. Whereas in Latin America, it's like you're sitting there and then you suddenly get in conversation and then kids are playing together. And here it's very much like these are our like digging tools for the sand pit,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And like I almost felt like I needed to gatekeep Colombia just because like I don't hear too many people talking about it as like a place you got to visit. But man, it's got like the best quality restaurants, the best hotels, and everything is like probably less than half the price of even like a mediocre European city in terms of prices. So it just felt like if you go there, especially if you go there with euros right now, man, you can have like a really, really great vacation. So I'm going to be dropping a vlog, by the way, like my whole Colombia trip, all the places I went to. And I'm just in the middle of editing that. It takes a lot of time to edit vlogs. So look out for that on the channel.
What about safety wise? Like
it depends city by city for sure. In Medellin, it felt quite safe. And it's actually one of the safest cities in Latin America from what I read. Whereas you go to the capital city, Bogota, it's very, very different. There are parts of the city, especially downtown, where most of the tourist attractions are. People are advised don't go out at night. And one of the nights we just happened to be out. And yeah, it did feel a little sketchy, I'm not going to lie.
But like sketchy in terms of like pickpockets, or like they're straight up going to like mug you, or like you're going to get beaten up and sent to the hospital? Like on what scale are we talking here? Because a lot of people are like, ooh, you know, I didn't feel safe. And obviously it's different for men versus women in certain respects. A lot of people say, ooh, Barcelona, like, you know, be careful in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. And they're mostly talking about pickpockets, which,
yeah,
it sucks if your phone gets stolen, your wallet gets stolen, but like, you're not getting pinned against the wall with a knife to your face. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't experience any kind of like violence or anything like that when I was there. But of course, just talking to my wife's family, who a couple of them had grown up in Bogota, I heard some crazy stories, like absolutely crazy stories about the lack of safety there and why they always have their guard up anytime they're in the city, even during the day.
Yeah.
Just because they're kind of traumatized by some of the really bad experiences they've had. And some of them were like, yeah, kind of violent also. So, yeah, I mean, like I can only tell you what I experienced while I was there, but definitely there's a huge contrast I felt between Bogota and Medellin.
Yeah. I guess when you're like a tourist, you're also like a little bit in a tourist bubble, where if you go where all the tourists go, and even like in the evenings or whatever, you're going to be relatively safe from like hardcore crime, right?
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Nice. All right, cool. Yeah. I mean, it looked dope on wherever you were posting. And
yeah. Yeah. I'm going to, I have a lot of editing to do, but, I mean, let's not get too carried away. Let's talk about, so what we've been wearing in the last couple of weeks. I can kick it off. So on my trip, because I knew it would be raining a lot while I was there, and it did rain quite a lot, I took my Salomon XT6 Gore-Tex pair with me, which is the only Gore-Tex pair of shoes I have. And it came in really, really handy, especially when I was in Bogota, where it rained nonstop, like torrential tropical rainstorm every day when I was there. I was completely soaked, but at least my feet were okay, you know, like the
your
shoes,
toes were dry, so all good.
Toes were dry, the socks were not wet, so that was good. Those came in handy, but I personally would not recommend those shoes as like a vacation shoe, especially if you know you're going to be walking a lot every day. Because if you're walking like 20,000 steps in those shoes, you feel it after a while.
Yeah, they're not the most comfortable. They're not the softest ride, right? Because they're made, or originally they were made for trail running. And I think they've got like that stability and grip, which makes them a bit of a harder ride than like if you compared it to a Asics gel shoe, for example.
For sure. Like it's night and day difference. You wear like a New Balance and a Salomon XT6. It's, yeah, my feet were not thanking me at all, like every day that I was in Colombia. And the other shoes I took with me were just my Adidas BW Samba, like the black pair, because I just needed like a versatile pair to wear every day. I never actually take more than two, maybe three shoes with me when I'm on holiday. I know people were asking me like, how many shoes do you take? But I just don't have the room, first of all,
it
in my suitcase.
Too much space, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the main reason why. Like, and I don't want to pay for extra suitcases to check in just for my shoes.
And like, let's be real. Like, what do you need your shoes for? You need a functional shoe, you know, whether it's waterproof or good for walking. You need maybe like a nicer shoe if you want to go out
exactly.
in the evenings, which is the Samba. And then, you know, if you really want to like, I don't know, do something athletic, go hiking, go for a run or whatever, then maybe you take like a shoe that you can wear casually that you can also run in, for example. That's also my go-to when I'm traveling.
Yeah, the running shoes is key as well, but I never run, so. And I've been seeing a lot of yellow shoes, so that kind of inspired me to wear My pair of Wales Bonner Adidas SL76. I have like that Cheeto one, the yellow and black stripe one. So I've just been rocking that too. That's kind of what's been in my rotation. What about you?
Dude, I have been living in my Birkenstocks, the Arizonas classics, but...
I see those everywhere right now too.
Yeah, I mean, mine are, what are they, like 3-4 years old already? So they're relatively worn in. I might need a new pair. But I've been wearing those a lot, but I've also been grabbing my ASICS Gel 1130s just because they're super comfortable. I've been wearing my Nike Air Aqua Rifts.
Okay.
Which are like the chunkier version of the Air Rifts. So okay. It's an Air Aqua, Air Aqua Rift or whatever they're called.
Are they called Aqua Rift because they're waterproof or something?
Yeah, they're like neoprene, they're water resistant or whatever. They're kind of like a sandal. They've got the split toe as well.
Okay.
I have the colorful colorway. We can put in a picture of them or we will. I guess you'll see them. As you're listening to this or watching this, you will see it right now. A lot of sandals. And then a lot of comfortable, easy shoes. New Balance 990 V6s, the gray ones. That's been kind of like my rotation. I also traveled a little bit. I went to my mom's place in Freiburg in the south of Germany.
Okay.
And there I was like barefoot most of the time, just in the garden chilling, which was really, really nice. But I'm looking forward to the summer because there's some like nice shoes coming out soon that I'd like to pick up that I think would be quite nice, like the Pata. I mean, we'll talk about this later, but the Pata Nike Air Max 90, I find that is...
Those are coming out tomorrow,
I saw the notification on my phone before we started recording. I'm excited about those. But like you said, a lot of colorful shoes too. Like, just looking forward to just wearing more color on my feet in the coming months.
Yeah, man. That's you got to wear them at some point of the year, right? Exactly. So anything you picked up lately?
The Aqua Rifts. I got those secondhand on Vinted, I believe.
Okay.
Because I've been trying to get a pair on StockX for a while because I wanted them new, but they were just either way too expensive and nobody was accepting my lowball bids on StockX.
Yeah, that's what... And Vinted is... I was going to say Vinted is where I really lowball.
Yeah. It's true. Like, especially if you see, because you can see for how long they've been online. If you see online for 3 months, you're like... All right, I'm just going to hit them with like 50% of what they want and see if they accept that. So they came secondhand, but they were relatively new. Like you could barely tell that they were worn. And that's actually it. I've got a couple of other shoes that I'm going to be picking up, but I guess I'll talk about those next episode. Okay. What about you, man?
So first of all, I got these, which you guys can see on camera. The brand new New Balance Absorb 2000, brand new model from New Balance. You had a little look at them earlier. I think so. New Balance has been putting out a lot of new models this year, like the 2010s also, and I forget what else, but the 2000s. I feel like right now, if you look at what's popular with Nike, the Shox are really popular, especially here in Berlin. I see the Shox are the most worn Nike shoe right now, especially among the female demographic. And I feel like this is kind of New Balance's Shox shoe. Right? Because it even has that responsive type of feel that you get from Shox, that bouncy type of feel.
It's that Viz Tech, you know, visible technology.
Visible tech, exactly. And I think I like pretty much everything about the shoe except for the upper, which has like it's a fully like digital print upper. So that some people have made the comment that it kind of gives off a cheap feeling because of that reason, which, yeah, I kind of get. I mean, honestly, the shoe is great. The retail price is a little high. It's 200 euros for these, and I think it's a lot cheaper in the US. Did you have some thoughts on these?
Yeah, I mean, so what you mentioned about this like screen printed or whatever that is, the upper, I think the idea behind it from what I've heard and from what I've read, so basically, we were talking about this before the show started, so Charlotte Lee designed these. Mm-hmm. The woman who designed the 327s and then 1906 loafers, right? Yeah. And the inspiration for the shoe was because it has a very 2000s feel. You mentioned the Shox and how there's similarities there. And the Shox are obviously, I think they released 2003, 2004, something like that. The idea behind these shoes is to explore what a shoe might have looked like if New Balance had continued that trend of visible technology. Mm-hmm. And that's why you've got that screen printed top, the seamless kind of upper, very light materials, although the shoe itself is not so light because the sole is quite hefty. You've got the visible technology. You can really, like, you know, press the sole and the midsole together to see, like, the suspension or the what do you call it, the cushioning of the shoe. And then I think she was saying that she designed the outsole to be kind of like always in movement. It looks like it's always moving forward, you know, which I find really cool. Is this the shoe for me personally? Probably not. I don't think I would wear this. I do think that this is a nicer alternative to the 1906.
Yeah.
The 9060. The 9060. I find the 9060 almost too chunky. And what I think that this shoe has done well is if you look at it from the top down or from the sides, it's still relatively seamless, you know? I'm just going to show the camera here. It's relatively seamless, whereas the 9060 has that chunky, bulky bottom that kind of...
Yeah, it protrudes out a little
bit,
right?
So. And that's what I'm not really a huge fan of when I see, especially in small sizes, when I see a lot of people wear them in small sizes. So these are definitely nicer than those, in my opinion. Not a shoe I would pick up, especially not for $200. But I do like what New Balance has done with Charlotte Lee's kind of idea around these was.
Yeah, I said the same thing when I reviewed these, that I do like these better than the 9060s for the same reasons. They just look not as chunky on feet. You mentioned the small sizes. I feel like the 9060 and the big sizes look absolutely gigantic on people's feet. So I would much rather have these. And also this particular colorway, this OG colorway, in my opinion, looks a lot better than that upcoming Joe Fresh Goods collab that we saw a sneak preview of. This colorway is very, very nice.
The fact that there's so many different components means that you could probably play a lot with colors.
Yeah.
But I like that they've kept it relatively tonal with the white, the gray, and the different shades of blue on this one. So, like, overall, I'd say a solid shoe, but not one that I would pick up personally.
Got it. A couple of other quick pickups. I picked up the 1906L OG, that OG silver one, because it restocked. And I didn't pick it up for myself. I picked it up for my brother because it's literally his favorite shoe. He already owns now three pairs of 1906Ls. And he's not a guy who really wears too many sneakers, but he's kind of obsessed with the 1906L. So I picked it up for him, the OG one. For myself, I picked up the SB Utos. And this I actually did get from Vinted with a lowball offer.
Nice.
Kind of lowball, but I got this pretty much right after we recorded our last pod. That was back in April.
Yeah.
So it's already been like a month and a half since I got it. And that shoe, at the time, I only paid like $185 in resale. And it's a lot higher now. I just checked the prices. And I love it because I don't typically pay resale for shoes, but this is a shoe that I just love. Love the whole matcha vibes. Talk about it a little bit later on in the pod as well, so I'm not going to say too much right now. I picked up an AeroPress.
Nice.
Yeah, because when I was in Colombia, I did a five-hour coffee course at a local coffee farm in the coffee region of Colombia, which was one of my dream days. Like, it was one of the best days of the whole trip. Learned everything about coffee from like how it's produced. I picked out coffee beans myself from the coffee plants, took it to the roastery. It was amazing. And then we went through like all the different ways of brewing coffee, like 10 different ways using every device you can think of. And for me, like, the taste of the AeroPress just kind of blew me away. I was like, man, I really taste a difference with this thing. And the crazy thing is it only costs like 25 euros or 30 euros. And yeah, now every morning, like, I literally can't wait to wake up and have my coffee because I just love the AeroPress.
So you're obviously way more into coffee than I am. Yeah. I feel like this kind of stuff is wasted on me because to me it's like coffee's coffee.
Yeah.
I don't really drink coffee. The only coffee that I really drink is, and give me your opinion on this type of coffee.
Okay.
Espresso tonics, yes or no?
Yeah, espresso tonics are a vibe. I had one today.
Yeah?
Okay, I had one today. Yeah, they're a vibe, man, because it's like that mix of sweet with the really, really bitter.
Mm-hmm.
In the summertime, it hits different.
Yeah, right.
No, but like you have it iced though, right?
I have it iced.
Yeah, that's the way to have
it. Of course. No, I'm not having warm tonic.
Yeah.
I have it iced. Generally, I also drink most of my coffee iced because I don't like hot drinks.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, caffeine also doesn't really do anything to me, but I love for you that you've found the AeroPress now, because
I'm so
there's
happy.
People that love to like tinker with like their settings. They've got like a 9,000 euro like coffee setup, and they're like,
yeah,
you know, tinkering with like the bitterness and whatever. That's the next level for you.
No, I honestly think this AeroPress is better than some of the 1,000 euro machines that I've had tried coffee from before. But yeah, anyways, that was one of my other pickups. And one last pickup. You're going to love this. I picked up no-show socks.
Yes. Finally, the propaganda has worked.
I've joined the bandwagon, man. Because you know what? I used to always think they were kind of cringe. But like, I get them now, man. Totally get them.
Yes.
Like they're in the summertime, like especially when I was in Colombia, it was so hot, and like I kept thinking like, man, I wish I had some like no-show socks on this trip. So I actually kept borrowing my wife's no-show socks, which don't fit her anymore because I've stretched them out so much and she's really pissed about that. So then when
they're like ankle socks, but they look like no-show socks on you, right? Because your foot's
yeah, exactly. But then when I got back to Berlin, I bought myself like 5 pairs of no-show socks. And yeah, man, I get it now. I get
Yeah, like in certain outfits, certain shoes, they just definitely look better. I've come from the opposite end where like I always had like no-show socks, and have slowly worked my way up to like the crew socks.
Yeah,
and I would also accept that in certain situations with certain shoes, crew socks look way better. I would never wear shorts and a pair of Air Jordan 4s with no-show socks.
Yeah, of
you know
course,
what I mean?
Of course.
That would look ridiculous.
Yeah, of course.
But maybe 10 like years ago, Fabian would have, you know?
The low-profile shoes are the ones that look good with the...
Exactly, yeah, the exactly. runners, that kind of stuff. Eurocentric shoes. But no, I love that. I love that. Nice.
Definitely. So let's get into our big topic. So just a quick first half review of the year so far in sneakers, some of the trends we've seen, and also our top 5 sneakers of the year so far. We can kick it off with trends. So... first is like, I feel like just something I've been noticing as someone who makes sneaker YouTube videos, there seems to be like a general decline in maybe interest in sneakers, just based on, you know, most sneakers these days, very easy to get. Most of them are sitting. Just this week, the New Balance Protection Pack restock, like the OG colorway, they're sitting right now, full size run, every colorway on New Balance Europe. A lot of upcoming shoes that at the start of the year I thought would be really hyped up, like the Shattered Backboards, for example. Those are coming out in July. And some sneaker YouTubers like Seth Fowler, for example, who's, and by the way, this is not me like shitting on Seth Fowler or anything like that. I'm just using this to prove a point. like he did it like an early review of the shoe already, like pretty much a month before the release. And I had a look at the video and it only had like 20,000 views, which to me is crazy from like a sneaker channel which has over 1.2 million like followers. Like to me, that tells me like, wow, like people really aren't that interested right now in shoes, because and it's not just that, like just views across most sneaker content have been really declining across like every platform, like social media and Instagram, YouTube, wherever. So I feel like people are, I don't know. I mean, we can discuss reasons for it or whatever, but that seems to be one trend, like just interest in sneaker and even like fashion content to an extent has been kind of declining, which I feel like there's always a trend cycle with these kind of things.
You know, there's always like highs and lows, right? Yeah. It comes in waves. Everything is cyclical in nature, even within these cycles, right? Where like fashion, streetwear, sneakers had a huge moment. And now maybe overall the fashion industry is having a bit of a lower moment, which will then, you know, lead to a higher moment where, you know, maybe sneakers will be in again. Maybe it'll be leather shoes. You don't really know. But I do feel the same in a way. Like my feed used to be full of sneakers and people, you know, sharing stories about sneaker pickups or sneaker designs. A lot of industry people posting. And whilst there still is a decent amount of that, I would say a lot of people have diversified their interests, right? And I think that plays a part too, where I don't think there's less people interested in sneakers. It's just that the people who are interested in sneakers are not only interested in sneakers.
Yeah,
and so they're posting about other things. Where this is one thing that I've noticed, where people that I follow, a lot of people in the German sneakerhead community, used to post sneaker pickup here, sneaker pickup there, sneaker wall, sneaker event, sneaker whatever. Now it's like, oh, I'm going to post a nice car that I bought or have or test drove. Some are very into coffee. They've got a nice coffee setup. Most of their most watched reels are them making their morning espresso. You know what I mean? So it, like, I feel like as they mature, grow up, as their followers mature, like different kinds of content or a nice, a wider variety of content resonates more. And so they end up posting a wider variety. You know, I feel like there's less and less people that are like specialized in sneaker content in a way that I would say you are certain extent, right? Because like the content you make is very much sneaker focused.
For sure.
You're not doing like AeroPress reviews or anything.
Maybe I'll start.
Maybe you'll start, but you might post the AeroPress or pictures of it or whatever on your story and stuff like that. But like in terms of your like real like posts or like the real content that you make, it's still very sneaker
focused. For sure, absolutely.
And I feel like there's less and less people like that.
Yeah, definitely. So that's been one kind of trend. Let's say we're in a down cycle in terms of interest in the whole field. And then when it comes to the sneakers themselves, right? So I have just kept seeing this trend over and over again. It seems like every single brand is making their version of the Miu Miu New Balance right now.
Yeah.
Those brown suede ones, right? Like with the different lace options on there.
Yep.
First of all, New Balance themselves are making, let's say, more easier to obtain version, which is going to be coming out in September. I think it's called the 204L.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like New Balance is not even like shameless about this. Like it's a very obvious knockoff of the.
But everyone does that. Nike used to do that too when Off-White. Nike.
Yeah,
was hot.
Of they course. I'm not saying they don't.
The same colorway on regular Air Force One. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or like everything started having like a little orange tag on it. You know. The swoosh would have an orange tag on a completely unrelated shoe. It's just obviously a cash grab, right, for the mainstream audience.
Yeah, definitely.
It's interesting, though. Because I haven't seen by Miu Miu-mification.
Mm-hmm.
You mean like that low profile kind of like fashion-y shoe, right?
Yeah. So of course, like the low profile shoe. That's the big trend right now that's happening. Adidas also. I don't know if you've seen this one. It's called the Ghost Rider. They put out the shoe called the Ghost Rider, which is also in the same colorway too as the Miu Miu's, like this brown suede, and it looks pretty much like they're obviously trying to Miu Miu-fy their shoes. But also like it speaks to the wider trend of, I feel like we thought the slim sneaker trend would go away, but I feel like brands are doubling down on slim sneakers to the point where it's like, let's see how slim we can make them.
Yeah.
And I think, one of the shoes that I think had a big impact on this was, the one from Dries Van Noten, which I can't remember what the model is called.
But I know exactly which one
you know, the brown one that I'm talking about with the super thin sole.
Yeah.
I feel like that shoe, it came out, then every brand started ripping it off. Zara made their own version of it. Shein, of course, made their own version of it. And now I feel like a lot of brands are trying to copy that that Dries Van Noten shoe with these like ultra slim shoes. We just saw Converse and Tyler, the Creator, put out a version of this. I think it's called the Converse Jogger, the Golf LaFleur Joggers. And it looks just like, it looks literally just like the Dries Van Noten shoes.
I mean, it reminds me a lot of certain someone's scuba shoes, you know.
Scuba shoes.
the Kanye West, you know, the scuba diving shoes.
Oh put, yeah, you know what yeah I mean? Those. Okay,
like
okay, got
like obviously not one to one, but it's that same principle of like less is more. Let's slim it down. Literally, like it's neoprene upper, and they slapped a sole on it.
Yeah.
Right, Kanye, and even Adidas is bringing out shoes that are basically that now. I think. You know, have you seen those? The ones that are like, they have knee high versions with the, like the three stripes going all the way up.
Oh yeah. I've seen. I think it's like a special version of the Taekwondo, right?
Yeah,
they go all the way up to the knee. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah, it. I don't want to say, you know, Kanye started this whole thing, but I think it's going in that direction where like, okay, the low profile has been done. It's still successful, especially in the mainstream. Mm-hmm. And I think it will continue to be because it is a style that isn't, it has a long shelf life, I would say.
Yeah.
But certain parts of the industry, certain brands are now pushing the boundaries, you know, Dries Van Noten, or, you know, you've got like your Balenciagas. I think wasn't the Balenciaga Under Armour shoe relatively low profile and slim as well? Right? You've got Avavav, Adidas. You've got a lot of things that are going in that direction where they're like, okay, we've got this low profile, but what about an absurdly low profile shoe?
Oh, what about that? Those new Margellas? They look like a ballet shoe.
Yeah.
I forget the name of that one, but that one too, super thin sole.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like that seems to be really the big trend right now. Like let's slim down these sneakers to their like bare bones.
Basically barefoot shoes. Yeah. Which we were talking about before as well.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I like it as somebody who likes tech in my midsole. You know,
they're not comfortable. None of these shoes are comfortable.
They're not. These are shoes you wear for like a photo op. You're not walking around town in these all day.
I tried on the Dries Van Noten shoes at Vu Store. Bro, it's like you might as well just not be wearing shoes.
You're walking on cardboard, basically.
No, you're just... It's like you can feel the ground, you know? Like, you're just walking on the ground. Like, you might as well just not wear shoes. It's super rock-hard cushioning. So, yeah, that's the one big trend I'm noticing, which leads into the last trend, which is indoor football sneakers are... back or not back, they've kind of been around, like Sambas, for example.
Total 90s.
Yeah, so that was the example I really wanted to bring up. Like Nike has been really pushing the Total 90, and to their credit, I think they've had a really good marketing campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I did a post for BCC, which is Amadeus Tuna's new project following Oshun, and it talked a lot about what you're going to talk about, which is that the marketing for the Total 90 has been on point, and it's one of the best things Nike has done, in my opinion, for a very long time.
Because it's classic Nike, right?
Bringing back an old sneaker and making it hot. It wasn't like the Dunk, where the Dunk was already kind of had its heyday. The Total 90 was never really hot. Mm-hmm. It was just cool within football circles, right? Yeah. It was very niche, and now they're bringing it mainstream. Travis Scott is pushing it, which... to a certain extent, I don't really get, because what does he have to do with football? You know, like maybe he'll prove me wrong one day, but he's probably like the type of dude to sit there and just like watch a game and just totally mispronounce everything and not understand like what a throw in is. You know what I mean? Like, he just seems like he's not a football fan. So what's he doing football stuff?
Did you hear that recent Pusha T Travis Scott diss?
No.
Like from last week, like the Clips put out their first song, and then Pusha T was talking about it on the podcast about why he dissed them or whatever, and then he basically summed it up by saying, yeah, who cares? It's Travis Scott. What's he going to do? He's harmless.
That's pretty good. I mean, what is he going to do?
I mean, shit, that's crazy, man.
Yeah. No, but the Total 90 is doing really well. And then, you know, Pata has a shoe coming out that I believe it's like a 97 upper with a full Air Max unit sole. Mm-hmm. But it's got the Mercurial Tiempo tongue.
Oh, okay.
And the full air sole unit. Some of the air bubbles are black to make it look like studs. Like the whole thing is clear, except for like a couple of bubbles that are black. Mm. So when you're looking at it from the side, it looks like you're walking on studs, which is kind of cool.
That's cool.
And goes into this whole like football fashion crossover that's been happening for a while.
So let's move into then top five releases of the year so far. There's definitely been some good releases, I would say, and some of them obviously really good. But I tried to narrow it down to five. We'll go one by one, right? So starting off at five, I have the Song for the Mute collab with Adidas. Song for the Mute, the Australian brand, they've done quite a few collabs with Adidas, but the one I'm talking about is the Superstar. They put out three different colorways. The brown one was the one that really caught my eye. I thought they looked amazing in person. I did a review of this shoe as well. It's just so well done. The laces look really nice with those like extra bit of laces that they have at on the shell toe area, which we haven't seen before on a Superstar. And I'm debating getting the black pair as well. I feel like that's a very like Berlin type of shoe. This is one of my favorite collabs. The materials on it were great too, because the lateral side had suede, the medial side had leather, so it had multiple materials on the shoe. lot of interesting design aspects. So I definitely liked all three of those colorways. And yeah, for me, one of the best Adidas collabs this year for sure. What do you have at number five?
I have the Salomon XT Whisper in the, and this is a name I've given it, the Oregon Ducks colorway. So there is a Salomon XT Whisper that's got a green upper with the these like yellow gold kind of detailing.
Is it these ones?
Yes.
Okay.
They just remind me of the Oregon Ducks. You know, like if
they do,
you know how like Nike and Jordan Brand does these PEs for the Oregon Ducks, because obviously Oregon, Nike go hand in hand. If Salomon was from Oregon and sponsored the Oregon Ducks, this is what the shoe would look like, in my opinion. Super nice shoe. The Salomon XT Whisper is a great new release by Salomon, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I really
agree.
Love that like wavy kind of detailing on the upper. It's a bit of a sleeper. There's been some really nice colorways as well. A really good friend of mine, Rihanna Matthews, she worked on this kind of grape purple colorway for women. Which was beautiful, and I think might still be available online in certain sizes. So for me, yeah, the XT Whisper, just a really, really great model. And then this like green and gold slash yellow colorway just pops, you know, like this is a shoe that I can see working really, really well in the summer with shorts, but also with maybe some like brown corduroy pants or even like some longer cargo pants or something like in the fall, winter as well. So if they're still in stock in a couple weeks, couple months, I might pick up a pair on sale because they're really, really nice.
I think Salomon really killed it with the XT Whisper. I feel like it's the model that has gotten the most amount of momentum for them since maybe the rise of the XT6.
Yeah.
They had that OG collab with Sandy Liang. And just from walking around Berlin, I've just been noticing that pair, that shoe, worn a lot by people, like mainly girls here in Berlin. So it's definitely seems to have caught on. My wife has asked me also to grab her a pair. It's a great pair. And I like the wavy design on it too. I almost included a Salomon pair actually in my top five, which was their, was it a collab? The one with Naked?
The XT6,
which was all pink with the brown.
Yeah.
The majority pink upper with the brown detail, which is supposedly restocking at Paris Fashion Week. I really wanted to get them, but they like
Naked,
instantly.
Naked collabs or exclusives are always sold out super quick. They never have like a high stock. And,
yeah, yeah.
And they also, correct me if I'm wrong, they don't always have like a full size, like a full men's size run, right? Because Naked,
I feel like there was one pair in my size
available. Yeah, because Naked is actually a women's boutique, in Copenhagen.
Yes,
right?
In Copenhagen, yeah.
And so most of the time, their shoes don't really go up to where your sizes are.
Yeah. So, but that pair was like in my just missed out in the top five. Yeah. Nice. So going into number four. I see that we both agree on this one.
Yeah, so you can take it away for this one.
It's the Jordan 4 Nigel Sylvester. Of course, the Brick by Brick. I feel like this shoe, at least in among people who love Jordans, this shoe got a lot of hype. It got a lot of people interested. It's even reflected in the resale prices. I mean, nowadays, not too many shoes go for that much, like twice as much the retail. This is one of the rare exceptions. And it's because, yeah, it's a very unique Jordan 4. Like, I don't think we've ever even imagined seeing, like, an all-red, like, Red October style Jordan 4. And I actually even liked it more in hand because it was in, like, a super bright red. It's kind of like this a reddish-orange color. Like,
yeah, it's like a dusty kind of red.
Yeah, I felt like the shoe looked even better in hand. I have my pair, which is kind of just chilling on my sneaker wall. And I still haven't worn it because I just don't know how to wear it. And I feel like a shoe like that, it's like so not a like Berlin shoe as well. Like people wearing a bright red Jordan 4s.
Yeah. I mean, I could see you wearing them with like some like white crew socks, maybe like black or brown shorts, and then just like a white tee or something. I don't know.
I mean I could wear it, but I still love looking at them. Like, they're beautiful to look at, especially when you switch out the red laces for the white laces. I think they look amazing.
Contrast. Super nice.
Yeah, they look so nice. And it's a great quality pair. And also, like, you know, like the whole marketing behind it and the box that it came into, which was like, it felt like a brick.
Yeah.
Awesome. Like, I think Nigel, yeah, he killed it with those fours.
Honestly, Nigel's underrated, like one of Nike or Jordan Brand's best collaborators of the last few years. I mean, I have the Air Jordan 4 RM, right?
Sick
there. The all black one. And that also came in a special box with like really nice, like tactile details. Mm-hmm. Had stickers, special paper and stuff like that. Really, really dope. So I like the orange one a lot too, but I don't know if it's been like confirmed or whatever, whether that other pair, that other colorway, the white with the orange accents.
Fire Red? Is that the Fire Red 3s?
Yeah.
The Fire Red 4s, I mean, that's supposed to be a Nigel version of the Fire Reds.
Yeah, right. Like it had like orange instead of the Fire Red or like whatever it is, like that dusty brick red / orange. I don't know if those were just like samples or friends and family pair. I don't know if they're ever going to come out or if they might come out next season or something like that. Those ones I find are almost better because they're a little bit more wearable.
For sure.
You know? But I agree. The storytelling behind it and just Nigel as a person, his like social media presence and the way he carries himself and the content he makes, the stuff he can do on a BMX bike, just all very, very impressive and cool. And so it makes sense that this kind of sneaker, because I feel like he resonates a lot with core sneakerheads. And so it makes sense that they would then buy into any sneaker that he makes, especially when it has this like rich storytelling around it.
Yeah, I do agree with you that I think he's one of the best collaborators for Jordan Brand. Speaking of Jordan, at number three, I have another Jordan, and this is the Jordan 3 Sole 2.0, which was a shoe that totally surprised me. Once I got it in hand, I was like, wait, why aren't more people talking about this? Now, I mean, not that I have any kind of affiliation with South Korea or anything like that. I just thought execution on this pair was incredible. The colorway on this pair was even better, in my opinion, than the 1.0s. And I think a lot of people agreed with that. It had more of a vintage aesthetic to it. Quality on the pair, in my opinion, the best quality Jordan we've gotten this year. Like, they've used the smoothest leather on this pair. The colors look nice. The South Korean symbols, the box it came in, a lot of attention to detail was put into this pair. And it's reflected in just like, I when I did the video of this shoe, I just read the comments. People were like, man, it's so nice that you also see this, you know, like what we've been seeing, having this shoe in hand. It's just a shoe you need to see in person to appreciate. It's I thought it was just incredible execution by Jordan Brand. It shows what they're still, you know, capable of when it comes to doing like really, really good collabs. So that one for me had to be number three.
It's a super nice shoe, especially with the context that the first one was so limited.
Yeah,
right.
And exactly.
And worth so much money that it was like a nice, like, bring it back, but change it slightly.
Yeah.
As you said, some people even thought it was nicer. Maybe they were clouded by the fact that it was a little bit more attainable. So they're like, oh yeah, this one is nicer. Both very, very nice shoes. I'm just sad that I saw it too late. I was like, I don't know. I don't even remember when it dropped, but I saw that it had dropped and was sold out. And I was like, damn, this was a shoe that I could have, not could have picked up, but like would have liked to.
Yeah.
Very, very nice shoe. So for me on number three is the New Balance Tokyo Design Studio MT10. And we were talking about this shoe prior to recording. It's available in two colorways. Vustor has them, an all black colorway and all white colorway. Wait,
but I think you're referring to specifically the collab, right? Is it a Stone Island collab?
No. This is the Tokyo Design Studio one.
Oh, the Tokyo Design Studio one. Yeah. My bad. Okay.
So there's the MT10, which is like their New Balance's version of the barefoot shoe.
Yeah.
Which is also dope. I really love the Gray Days colorway. But this one is with Tokyo Design Studio. And when you look at it, there's almost very little similarity between this pair and the regular Generalese pair. Mm-hmm. It just looks Japanese when you look at it.
Yeah, that you can't deny. Yeah.
It's got this like shroud over it, you know, and like, yeah, it wouldn't like, I feel like this is a shoe that you would wear to like a very upscale, fashionable onsen or something, you know? So super cool shoe and relatively affordable at 140 euros, especially for a special edition collab type shoe. And in the past, Tokyo Design Studio shoes have always impressed me. They've always been very well thought through. Remember that when they had that like 3-in-1 sandal?
Yeah, right, you know? Right.
Super, super cool. Obviously, as you would expect from a design studio coming out of Japan, everything's well thought through. Everything makes sense. So yeah, definitely go check those out if you guys can. As I said, VU has both colorways, but I'm sure they're available at other retailers as well. Overall, very, very nice shoe.
Definitely. Moving into the top two now. So at number two is a pair that I talked about earlier that I picked up, I paid resale for. It is the Yuto Horigome Nike SBs, his second pair with Nike so far. This is the matcha colorway. The reason why I love these shoes so much is they are beautiful. First of all, great colors on there. And I'm someone who actually really enjoy matcha. I like drinking matcha. And I just thought the details were great on there. Like even, I believe there's a section of the shoe which is supposed to mimic like the bamboo that you use to like shake the matcha thing. Yeah. And there's some other like matcha details. It's not coming to my head right now, but like all over the shoe, there's like all these details that have to do with the process of making matcha. Yeah, and it also has that like speckled look, which I like on the midsole. Like
the bubbles, kind of. Exactly. The bubbles, yeah.
Exactly. And just like the different shades of green on there, I thought, man, it looks so nice. It's going to pop in the summertime. And my favorite part about the shoe, which was kind of unexpected, was the laces that come with it. They come with these like pinkish kind of beige laces. Like it's like beige pink, and it just contrasts so nicely. You wouldn't expect like pink laces to contrast with the green. Contrast so nicely. So that's like a pair that I'm very happy to have in my personal collection. And yeah, I had to have it at two. What about you?
At two, I have a shoe that I have actually written about recently, the Adidas Adizero Evo SL. And
oof, those are everywhere now.
That's why I have them at number two. I don't have them personally, but because they're everywhere, and I think also because Adidas is pushing them hard. Mm-hmm. It's like you're seeing them everywhere because it's paid media, right?
Yes.
But what I think is so cool about these shoes is, I mean, to anybody who doesn't know what these shoes are, they're basically like a takedown version of Adidas's fastest running shoe, right? Mm-hmm. The Adidas Zero Evo 3 or the whatever it's called, Euro right? Shoe. Yeah, the marathon shoe, the one that's like breaking records, actually holds the marathon record, the fastest marathon in the world. This is the takedown version. So this costs $150 entry level. Great for the mainstream, great for the runner who doesn't want to, you know, spend €300 on his shoes because he knows he's only going to be running once or twice a week, not really going to be running competitions. But what makes this shoe so great is the marketing rollout. And we talked about it for the Nigel Sylvester. We talked about it for Song for the Mute and Adidas, that, you know, their branding is so unique and they're doing their own thing, which is really cool. Adidas is marketing the shoe as a lifestyle shoe, even though it's a pure performance shoe.
Yeah.
And that's what I found so interesting because, sure, lifestyle, performance, there's been an overlap more and more every year, right? And probably, I mean, it kicked off way before this, but a big moment was Kanye West wearing the Ultra Boost and then them selling out, right? The Ultra Boost were originally technically a performance shoe. Then they were completely used as a lifestyle shoe. I don't know anybody. I think if you saw somebody running in the Ultra Boost, you'd be like, what the hell is this person doing, right? Even though that's technically what they were made for. Mm. They weren't a great running shoe, but they were made to be run in. And so the Adidas Evo SL is a good running shoe that's been being marketed as a lifestyle shoe because Adidas recognizes that people who don't run buy running shoes to wear for style, for comfort. Mm-hmm. But they also recognize that runners wear their running shoes when they're not running.
Yeah.
And so the marketing rollout has been amazing. They've got like these really cool like Instagram reels, TikTok videos where they're, it's people who are wearing the shoes in everyday situations. And then they're like, oh, I need to go like run and meet my friend. So it's like, oh, I'm running, but I'm not running for performance. I'm running to like go meet my friend. That. Or like, oh, like I've been on my feet all day. Now I'm going to stop and have dinner or like have a snack. And everybody in the restaurant's wearing these shoes. So for me, Adidas is just like really, really struck a chord on a marketing level with these shoes. And then again, the shoes are also really, really nice. They come in a couple of really nice colorways. And from what I've read in reviews, again, I haven't worn them myself, they're actually very solid running shoes for that price point. Mm-hmm. So overall, I had to put these in my top five. I wasn't sure where, but in the end, I think the storytelling pushed it into the top two for me.
I think, you know what? Like, I feel like I kind of missed out on these by not putting it on my list as well, because if we're talking about shoes that have been huge successes this year, it's hard to think of one that's been a bigger success than the Evo SL.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, I've been seeing people wear these casually, and also like just watching people run all over the city. Yeah, this shoe seems to be on everyone's feet right now. The regular black version, the white one as well with the black stripes. They seem to be always selling out. So, I mean, Adidas found a huge hit with this sneaker.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, for €150 or $150 or whatever they are in the States, that's relatively cheap for a running shoe, for a performance running shoe. Mm-hmm. But they don't look like a takedown version. They look cool. They look fast. You know, the three stripes on the side of the mm-hmm. forefoot, kind of like trailing off.
Looks sick.
They look like, and people probably do wear them for marathons, because I'm sure they're a fine marathon shoe for anyone who's not like trying to break records. They look fast. They and look that's sick. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That shoe has resonated for sure. Moving on to number one. So, the sneaker that I have on number one is like really not the type of shoe that I would ever even think of having a number one, because it's just a very anti-me type of shoe. Like, it's, first of all, it's all patent leather, which is like my least favorite material. It's also an Air Force One, which I don't really wear. I talked about how that shoe is a bit too chunky for me. I don't really like it. But the shoe I have at number one is the Lil Yachty Lucky Green Air Force Ones. Man, I don't know. Something about these shoes just look so good. Like, just seeing people wear the shoe, see them style it in different outfits. I don't know, man. Something about those shoes, it's like, doesn't matter what you're wearing, you put these shoes with your outfit, and it's like, okay, these shoes are now the star of the show. They make the outfit. It's just like, it looks so good in the summertime. I have to give a shout out to my guy Malcolm over in Canada. Like, he's definitely influenced me on the sneaker, because I've been seeing all his different outfits with the shoe, and I'm like, man, those look so good. Yeah, it's like, it kind of looks like a Bapesta in Air Force One form, mm-hmm. right? And it's just way better than his previous Air Force Ones, like the white, the very plain white and blue ones that he had. Yeah. And it's just like, it's just a color combination that works. And I think Yachty killed it with these.
Yeah, I thought they were really cool too. Like, it's funny you mentioned the first pair, because there was like that, remember that mad beef there was? Was it at Complex Con between Yachty and Bima Williams?
Bima Williams, yeah.
The podcaster who, I mean, makes really, really great content, talks a lot about like also like industry shifts and stuff like that. And he was basically hating on the shoe, because he's like, yo bro, you got the chance to work on an Air Force One, and this is what you do? You just do a white Air Force One with your logo? And
yeah, it was a good response, right?
And then Lil Yachty was like, yo, fuck you, right? Went off on him on stage and was like, I don't care about your opinion, you're an idiot, blah blah blah. Regardless of who you agree with, right, like, it definitely, I think he's definitely shown with his second shoe that, you know, he can make a, and maybe this is a discussion for another time as well, because I think that whole argument was a bit disingenuous. Like, what makes a shoe like worthy of a collaboration, right? Like, sure, you can make them super colorful and play around with materials and make them like overly special, but then also sometimes that makes them like very unwearable, even though they're like a special object, they're not a cool shoe anymore. And I would like to think that, you know, there is something cool about like getting a Nike collab and being able to work on one of the most iconic shoes ever and being like, just make it white, bit of blue detailing,
right.
Put my logo on it. Because in the end, like, those are the shoes that are timeless. And mm-hmm. you, like, being able to wear that classic shoe in a timeless colorway that's also your own colorway with your own logo is also a flex.
It's,
you know,
super flex.
So, I mean, that's my take on the whole argument. But I think that the second shoe is also great in its own right. It goes way in the other direction, right? Mm-hmm. Like, way off the scale. The colors clash, but they work well together. The patent leather, as you said, is a lover to hate it, but even if you hate it, you kind of love it kind of thing, especially on this shoe. Super nice choice.
I feel like even if you would never wear this shoe, like, when you see it on other people, you're like, Yo, those are hard, man. Those are really, really hard.
It's true, especially with the right fit. I mean, like, it's also a shoe you recognize, and you're like, mm. Even if you don't know what it is,
yes,
you're like,
yes,
haven't seen this before. What is that? Maybe you ask the person. It's a conversation starter, and that's kind of what shoes within the sneakerhead universe and community and culture have always kind of been. Like, not like, yo, what are those in the meme kind of way, but like, yo, like, what are those? I want to know more, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
And that's exactly what those shoes are.
Yeah, yeah. And, the sneaker community seems to think that way too, because the resale prices of the shoe are through the roof.
Astronomical. And,
which is not what I expected, really, because I thought people would think this is kind of an ugly shoe and no one would want to buy it. I thought it would sit like his first shoe wasn't sitting, but like it barely went for above retail.
Yeah.
But this one, man, like people clearly love the way the colors look together. And yeah, man, like honestly, great job, Yadi. I'm excited to see him do more colorways of the Air Force One or even some other sneakers.
Yeah, for sure. Another good collaborator at the very beginning of his collaborative career, I would say, with Nike, but definitely excited for more.
Let's see your number one, man.
So I actually brought my number one. You've already seen it. And man, this is also a love or to hate it kind of shoe, but bam. I'm talking the Mango Pink Nike Air Rifts.
Those are cool, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to hate, because I wouldn't be able to wear those, like, if I'm being honest. But the colorway, I do like the colorway.
Bro, I mean, I love the color. I love the fit. Like, these split toe shoes. I was joking about it on Instagram. They're making me run faster, jump higher, lift stronger. They don't. But, nah, dude, I mean, for someone who's, like, really into sneakers, but also, like, very much, as I think most people in the sneaker and streetwear world are, like, not obsessed with, but, like, very intrigued and in love with Japan and Japanese culture.
Yeah.
The split toe is obviously very symbolic of that, very, you know, native to Japanese culture and history. And I am more and more finding that I'm attracted to shoes that people don't like, that people find repulsive. Okay. And I was telling you this before. I was, like, I put these shoes on to get to go to the office, and then my wife was like, no. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, you bought another colorway? I was like, yeah, I showed you these a month ago. I just haven't worn them because the weather hasn't been good, but like, I've had them for a while. They're not new. Discussion that I think everybody has had with their significant other, right? Like, no, I swear these aren't new. You've seen these before.
They're different, trust me.
And she was like, I hate this shoe, and now you have it in three different colorways? You have a shoe that, and I was like, yeah, but it's not about what you like. It's what about I like. And she was like, do not wear these to the playground. Do not wear these to go pick up your son from kindergarten, because we know the same people and I'm going to be embarrassed of you. I was like, all right, fair enough. Deal is I get to wear them to the office and when I'm not spending time with her. But yeah, I mean, just one of my favorite shoes of the moment. You know, these ones, Nike Shocks, anything that's a little bit different. I actually really like, have you seen the, what are they? The Adidas ballerina ones with that like shock style sole.
Ballerina? You mean the one that they have like Bad a strap. Bunny worked on?
No, they've got like a strap. Okay. Google Adidas ballerina micro bounce or something like that.
Micro bounce.
Let's see if you can find like, them. The like
the
light
one with
blue.
The strap on it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So I really like these two, and I'm waiting for them to go on sale so I can snag them with my employee discount, because then I'll get them for like really, really cheap. I'm more and more drawn to, like, of course I love the Nigel Sylvesters. Of course I love the Union LA Air Jordan ones. Of course I love all of the hype shit and the mainstream limited stuff. But more and more I'm finding that I really, really like the shoes that nobody else really likes.
Yeah.
You know? Shoes that somebody looking at me wouldn't expect me to wear. And I love the challenge of like incorporating them in some sort of outfit. Most of the time I end up just wearing Issey Miyake on plissé pants because they go with anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're slightly more feminine, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, these are my top shoe of the half year one. And let's see if they're top at the end of the year.
Man, that's only a shoe that you'll see right here on the Kickback podcast, the Mango Air Rifts at number 1.
You're not
going
to see these on any other top 10s. So, yeah, you saw it here first and probably last as well.
That's a good point you bring up, though, about how you've starting to gravitate more towards shoes that, you know, other people don't really like. And I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's what like being a sneaker collector or even like someone who's into fashion, that's what it's all about, right? It's just self-expression at the end of the day. So it's cool that, you know, like people aren't just conforming to what like sneaker news or like Nike Kicks is telling you is cool, right? Like it's like you're into what you like. So that's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Nice.
All right. So let's just round it off by just giving you some sneakers that are upcoming in the next couple of weeks. So there's a pair coming that I know you want. So we're going to be seeing the wider release of the Pata Air Max 90, the Waves. I just did a review of these shoes, actually. And it turns out they're the most limited pair of Pata Nike so far, only 15,000 pairs worldwide in each color. Were you planning on going for them?
I was going to, you know, just try my luck at some point, yeah. I'm not sure which colorway I like more.
Yeah, I think I like the purple ones.
I was thinking
a little
that
better.
Too, yeah.
But yeah, those are coming out on the 24th of June, 26th of June, Jound and ASICS reuniting once again on a new model this time, the Gel Quantum 360, which is like, if you wanted minimal shoes, it doesn't get more minimal than this because there's literally not even an ASICS logo on this thing. It's just a white shoe with a lot of gel underneath. You've seen it, right?
Yeah. It's the same shoe that Cicely Benson did this sandal one on.
Yeah, exactly. So it's I mean, for me, it's like a bit too plain. But I know some people really, really like the
shoe.
It's
super comfortable, too. So anyone who wants a really comfortable shoe that's also jowned, that's also minimal, this is probably the perfect trifecta.
Right. On June the 27th, we're going to be seeing the Ama Manier Air Max 95s. This is going to be the third Air Max 95 that those two have worked on. And in my opinion, the best looking one. Have you seen this one?
No.
Newest colorway. Like, it looks like that's it right there.
Ooh, yep. That was nice.
Very, very nice. Very, very nice. It is all leather like the other, like the first pair. But the colorway on this one, to me, just looks way better than the first one. And besides that, I think we'll be seeing a wider release of the Stone Island New Balance, like the skateboarding shoes they put out recently, the Numeric 272, that's what they're called. And that's it. That rounds out the month of June when it comes to sneakers. Thank you guys so much for tuning in once again to the Kickback Pod. Apologies because we didn't do an episode in the month of May. We were both like just traveling, and
it was our pre-summer hiatus.
Yeah, like it was hard to find the time, but we do appreciate each of you guys for tuning into this episode. And yeah, man, until next time, guys. Peace.